What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Dr. Football Ultimate Patriots Podcast. Welcome, welcome back. It has been a minute since we recorded. We are deep in the summer. NFL content is hard to find. Find it here. Our commercial-free NFL preview edition. We're going to go division by division. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pats, and we're going to do things a little different. We're going to go in reverse order. So we're going to pick the last place team in each division first and then work our way to the top. Joining me, as always, the CEO of Hedge Better, Justin Fine. It's been a while, my friend. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, man. It has been a while. I know everyone's eager to get on vacation. It's 4th of July weekend. But I love that we're bringing a little football into the holiday weekend.
Well, that's why I wanted to record today, because I feel like it's really a dead time of year in the calendar. So let's give everyone some NFL talk. Let's give everyone some NFL content. And for when you're stuck in traffic, when you're chilling at the beach, when you're just, you know, bored watching your kids or something, you can pop us on and hear some actual football talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, man. All right. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go division by division. We're going to preview this whole league. This is the way too early NFL preview edition. That's what I'm calling this, because it's a little early for this, but it's July and, you know, training camp is coming, so why not? But I want to start, Justin, just with a quick look in Foxborough before we even get into the league as a whole. And it's been really quiet in Foxborough, but training camp is coming. And I'm curious what thoughts, if any, you have leading into training camp. My thought, and I'll share with you, and I want to hear what you have to say about this, is I think the one thing that jumps out at me about this team right now is that the biggest question mark on this team right now is Drake May. I think that clearly you got a preview of this in minicamp a few weeks ago. People were really scrutinizing his performance. The eyes of Patriots Nation are going to be on him. And that 1-11, I know he showed well last year at times, but that 1-11 record, some turnovers in big spots, I feel like he is actually the one that is the big question mark going into training camp.
For sure. And we've heard some conflicting reports, I think, coming out of the mini camps. You know, you've heard some people saying that, you know, they're looking for him to make that year two leap. We've heard some other people saying that he's not looking so great. I think it's going to be very interesting. Like you said, I think the entire 2025 season really hinges on his ability to take a big step forward in year two.
Yeah. Yeah, 100% agreed. And, you know, I'll actually give a co-recipient of that scrutiny, and that's Josh McDaniels too.
Yeah.
I think both these guys clearly, you know, just from the buzz you heard around minicamp and that first minicamp practice where they said Drake May didn't look too good. And I think you saw right then and there, like, a lot of scrutiny popped onto McDaniels, a lot of scrutiny popped onto May. And I think, you know, as the minicamp progressed and he looked better, that was obviously a little bit of a relief. But wait and see, like, this whole training camp is going to be like a day-to-day referendum on Drake May and Josh McDaniels.
Totally. And you know what? One of the things that I do think it's fair to point out, right, is that, you know, he's going up against what should, for all intents and purposes, be a top five, top seven defense in the NFL. He's got a new offensive coordinator. He's got brand new weapons he's working with, right? A new O-line. So it's like there really isn't much consistency from him from last year to this year. So I can understand there being kind of like an adjustment period and a learning curve heading into this year too.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's not fair to expect him to hit the ground running and be Patrick Mahomes in his second year or any, you know, something like that. I mean, I don't think that's the way this team is built. One thing I think about this team, the way that they built this team this year, I don't think they need Drake May to be Superman to win. I mean, they have three good running backs. They've made an investment in the offensive line in the draft and free agency. So I think they're probably going to try and come out in those first like 4 to 8 weeks and win games kind of by playing small ball, good defense, running the ball, and asking May to make plays when he has to, but not necessarily carrying them. Yeah. And I think my hope for this season is that by the end of the year, May is the kind of quarterback can carry a team, but I don't think it's fair or realistic to expect that right from the get-go this year.
No, totally. I mean, I think we're going to see a progression of Drake May as the year goes on. And I think that's pretty typical, especially for young quarterbacks, right? But I think you're right. I think there's just so much that's changed from last year to this year. And I think if this coaching staff is smart, like you said, they're not going to ask Drake May to go out and be the hero in week one. Mm-hmm. They're going to kind of let him come into his own in this 2025 season, hopefully.
Yeah. Agreed. And the team is built to, I think, take the pressure off him in September. And if they're smart, for sure, like for all the reasons you just illustrated, that's what they're going to do. Like, you can't throw this guy into a new system with a bunch of moving pieces and be like, okay, go to it. You're Josh Allen. You're Pat Mahomes. I mean, the expectations are high. Yep. And I think that it's kind of a setup for disaster.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'll give you a quick, and I might be in the minority here with this kind of take, but we're talking a lot about Drake May in this offense, right? You got new weapons. You got Josh McDaniels. You got Drake May going into year two. You got a new offensive line, right? There's a lot to look at in put under the microscope in this offense. I think I'm one of the few people who I'm actually looking forward more to seeing the defense this year, just because I think this is going to be a defense that's like a throwback potentially to like early 2000s Patriots defense, right? Just like tough, physical, deep. Like, and I think, honestly, they're going to win more games from their defense than they do with their offense.
I mean, certainly in the first 2 months of the season, I agree with that. And you know, Justin, the way this schedule is designed, they probably aren't going to need to go out and score 40 points against many teams in the first couple months of the year to win games. I mean, you could really have a pretty below average offense and win a lot of these games again in September and October that they have scheduled.
Definitely. And the one thing that I think we, you know, we can look forward to with Mike Vrabel is, you know, and this was one of our biggest knocks in the Patriots in years past, especially into the Belichick regime, is kind of taking that preseason, as like a cakewalk, right? Almost as like easing their way into the year. And then, you know, they're still kind of finding their own in the first couple of games of the season. But I think Vrabel's going to have them as ready as they possibly can be coming into week one.
100% agree with that. And I think there was a lot of questions about Gerard Mayo and like how he was running practices and executing things both on the field and off, really right from day one. And you'll notice with Vrabel, like that's all gone. Like clearly, if nothing else, he's a professional that knows what he's doing. It doesn't mean he's going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that. It just means he's not totally in over his skis like Mayo was. And I think that this will be a much different, you know, training camp and preseason because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we're already seeing signs of it. The reports have been that, you know, they've been practicing tough in the offseason. Like, you know, it hasn't been a typical Patriots offseason like we've seen in the past, which I think both of us are excited about, because that's always been one of our biggest knocks of this organization at this time of year.
Plus, it's just like the logistics of it. Like, by all accounts, Mayo kind of ran a tougher camp than Belichick had the last few years, but it was just like he didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
So like how things were executed, it was like, you know, it was just someone that was clearly not really experienced in managing an NFL franchise, frankly.
Exactly. Look, I used to have a basketball coach in high school. He used to say hard work without execution gets you nothing but sweaty. Right. And I think that's what we saw last year with the Mayo regime, right? Is they stepped it up a notch as compared to Belichick in years past, but there was no execution because Mayo was, it was kind of the blind leading the blind at that point.
100%. That's perfectly said. All right. So let's get into these divisions. There are eight of them, right? Do you want to finish with the AFC East or start with the AFC East? I mean, this is a Patriots podcast. Should we start with the AFC East and then go backwards?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with the AFC East.
All right. Let's start with the AFC. So let's say who we've, I think in this division, it's pretty clear who's going to be last place or who we think is. But let's start with last place in the AFC East. Let's go last to first. What do you got? Last place in the AFC East.
All right. I'm actually going to surprise you with this one. I think it's going to be the Dolphins. I think the Jets are probably the consensus, but I'm picking the Dolphins here. I think, from everything we've heard, even going back to last year, the locker room really didn't have their stuff together. You know, there seemed to kind of be like dysfunction in terms of the goals and in the camaraderie in the locker room. You never know what can happen. Tua is one hit away, I think, from missing the entire season. I don't have faith in McDaniels. I know we both don't have faith in McDaniels like a lot of people do. And I don't really believe in that Dolphins defense. So I honestly see a really good chance of the Dolphins coming in last in the AFC East here.
I don't hate that take at all. You know, I've been on McDaniel's thing for like a couple years. Yeah. I'm not a believer in him as a head coach. I think he's the quintessential great coordinator, but not a great head coach. I think it shows every time the Dolphins play a tough game or a tough opponent, they kind of fall apart. We've seen it now for like 3 years.
Yep.
So I do not hate that take at all. I think the Dolphins have had an interesting offseason. They made a really interesting trade that I'm kind of struggling to make sense of because they traded two good players for one good player, which makes me wonder, you know, where they are this year. But I still think because of Tua, because of Tyreek Hill, and really because I think the Jets are just super pathetic. Like I think the Jets are playing for the 2026 draft. Garrett Nussmeier, Arch Manning. I don't think the Jets are really built to win this year. And I think I'm still picking the Jets to be last place, but I agree. Like I see both the Jets and the Dolphins as like 4 to 6 win teams this year.
Totally. And you know what? The one thing that I will say is that, and again, if you ask me what's more likely than not, I'd probably lean the Jets coming in last, but I will say we always talk about a professional roster that has no expectations can be dangerous at times. Right. And I think at this point, Miami has all the pressure and all the expectations in the world. And this Jets team gets to go out there with the kind of just free will that they are expected to not be a good team. They're expected to come in last in the division. And who knows, like a team like the Dolphins, that could break them. And it could allow a team like the Jets to maybe steal a couple games. So you never really know. But I would be shocked if those aren't third and fourth in some order, those two teams.
Well, to that point, and this bears mentioning, right? The Jets, comparing the Jets and the Dolphins, the coaches are in very different positions, right? Like Aaron Glenn, first year of a new regime, no expectations. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows this is a total gut and rebuild. No one's expecting much. That's the kind of team that maybe can come out and be scrappy, win 6 or 7 games, and you're actually thrilled if you're a Jets fan.
Right.
For the Dolphins, it's the complete opposite. Like the Dolphins have a ton of pressure on them, I think, to perform. I believe this is going to be Mike McDaniel's last year as Dolphins head coach, because I think they're going to have a 5 to 7 win season, and I think they're going to move on from him after this season, because it's going to be clear that they can't win with him as head coach. But very different places for these two head coaches.
Totally, totally different places. And one other thing I just want to throw out there, totally aware, you know, you talked about that trade, that 2-for-1 trade that seemed to make the Dolphins worse, not better, in a year that's so important for them to actually come out and perform. I was kind of shocked that their go-to move after getting rid of Jonnu Smith was bringing in Darren Waller, who's been retired for a year and a half. Like, to me, that was kind of, and the best part is like they had to trade for him, right? So it's not like they just picked him up for a bag of balls off free agency. Right. Like they actually had to go out and trade for this guy. And you think about it, like, is that just like an example of McDaniel's organization thinking like they're smarter than everyone else? Because I can think of a handful of second string tight ends, even starting tight ends, that they probably could have got, you know, for not too much higher of a price, that would have made a lot more sense than bringing out a 32-year-old guy who's almost 2 full years into retirement.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of almost reeks, I think, of McDaniel's arrogance. I mean, to be honest with you, that's I thought the same exact thing. I'm like, this is just an arrogant move to think you can get something from this player, you know, who hasn't been in the league for 2 years and frankly wasn't really that productive when he last was in the league. He had I think a great year with the Vegas at some point, 4 or 5 years ago, and really didn't do much since he went to New York. So, okay, at the top of the division, is there any chance, Justin, that the Patriots can compete with Buffalo? I think we both agree Buffalo is the clear favorite in the AFC East.
I think they are. I'll be very transparent right now. I got a couple of future bets that include the Patriots not only making the playoffs, but also winning the AFC East. I think, like, you know, you factor in that schedule. You know, I think they got a lot easier of a schedule than Buffalo. And I think their defense can go toe-to-toe with that Buffalo defense. It really comes down to, like we were saying at the beginning, can that offense take a step forward? But I can see a world where even the Patriots being a slightly lesser of a team than Buffalo with that schedule that they have, finding a way to win the AFC East.
100% agree with that. And I think that is the X factor, is the schedule and the soft Patriots schedule. And I'll say this, like, unless Drake May is a total flame out this year, and unless, you know, if he plays just like halfway decent, and he's healthy. I think that game on December 14th, I think that's in week 15 or something like that between Buffalo and New England in Foxborough. I'm not saying the Patriots will be playing for the division, but what I will say is that unless Drake May is a total washout this year, yeah, I think there will be a pathway still open for the Patriots to win this division at that point if they were to win that game in Foxborough in December. And that's a two-pronged take. One is the Patriots, I think, have done a good job of rebuilding and have a soft schedule. And the second prong is Buffalo is a good team, but they're Josh Allen centric and they're certainly not a super team. No. So I see them as like an 11-ish win team. And I think the Patriots will be nipping on their heels at 9 or 10 wins.
Exactly. I mean, look, we statted the Patriots out, you know, a few episodes ago, and I think we put them at around 10 wins. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, one or two things change, you know, Buffalo loses a game here and there, Patriots steal a game, like very easily the Patriots can be an 11, 12 win team, Buffalo, you know, 9, 10 win team. And you could see the Patriots back on top in the AFC East for sure.
Yeah, I mean it should be closer than we think, but at that said, I am still picking Buffalo at the end of the day. I think the Patriots are still a year or two away. Okay, let's move to the AFC North next, Justin. Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens. Who comes in last place in the AFC North?
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna take the Browns here. I think
you gotta take the Browns.
I think the Bengals and Ravens are both playoff teams. I think the Steelers, even though you know they're bringing it Aaron Rodgers and they kind of look like a little bit of a dumpster fire right now, Mike Tomlin has found a way to keep that team above 500 every year of his career. Yep. And I can't see them slipping that much this year that they would fall even to last place. I mean, the Browns, they got no clue what they're doing at quarterback. I think they got a lot of holes, a lot of question marks. I'm going to take the Browns to come in last place.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns, I think, are going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Like, to me, you're looking at like a 2 to 5 win team.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, 4 or 5 wins. I mean, who's going to play quarterback? You got Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. And I don't know, is the Deshaun Watson thing totally dead at this point? Is there any chance he comes back? I mean, you know, I don't even know. I think they're kind of, obviously, with drafting two quarterbacks, they're kind of running their franchise like this thing is over, and they're just kind of stuck with this awful contract until it expires. But I think the Browns are one of the worst teams in the league. I will say I was glad the Steelers signed Aaron Rodgers, not because I think it's going to be successful, but because it's going to be interesting. The Patriots are hosting that team in week 3, for example.
Yep.
That game is way more interesting with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback than Mason Rudolph. I think this is the year that maybe the Steelers end up below 500. And I just feel like they're in rebuilding mode. Frankly, Justin, we didn't even talk about this, but I hated the Steelers signing Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I love that they did it because it makes it interesting. But from the perspective of managing an NFL franchise, if someone was asking me, like, what do I recommend the Steelers do? I thought that was a terrible move for the Steelers. You know, you've been over 500 for 20 years. Don't sign an aging guy that's going to get you 7 to 9 wins at the precipice of the best quarterback class that's come out in the last decade in the NFL. If you're going to bottom out, just freaking bottom out.
Right.
Get draft capital. You know, maybe you win 4 games with Mason Rudolph and 8 games with Aaron Rodgers. Either way, you're going nowhere as a franchise. The Steelers should have just rolled with what they had, played for 2026, and drafted the next quarterback for that franchise, which they desperately need. And instead, you know, they sort of, I think, made a desperation move towards Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't have it anymore. And they basically condemned themselves to mediocrity.
Well, I think that you just used the appropriate word there, desperation. I mean, this was a team that didn't really go out and pursue anybody aggressively in free agency. They passed on a couple guys in the draft when we thought maybe they would go quarterback in one of the in the first or second round. And then they were kind of just at the mercy of waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come around and sign. I do agree that I think it makes it interesting. I think he is a wild card in the sense that, like, if the Steelers were able to pull off 9-10 wins, like, I'm not going to be jaw-dropped, you know, just because they got a good defense and they got Mike Tomlin. And then actually, just to take it back to Cleveland real quick, early rumors are that Kenny Pickett may be the starting quarterback.
They got Kenny Pickett, too, in
Cleveland. So, like, yeah, I think Cleveland just is going to be such a dumpster fire that they're destined for last place, but I totally agree. The Steelers,
they have Flacco too. I wasn't mistaken.
No, right? They got five quarterbacks on that roster right now. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do there, but I agree. This could be the year that the Steelers finally fall below 500. And wouldn't it just be like such poetic justice that the first time in nearly 15 years in the Mike Tomlin era that the Steelers fall under 500, and it's when they bring in someone who's viewed as like one of the better quarterbacks like of the last like 2-3 decades.
Yeah, you know? But you know as well as I, this is not the Aaron Rodgers of 2019. This is not the same guy. He is at best, I would say, an average quarterback, and I think declining. And he is not going to do the work that he needs to do to bring that all together, clearly, as evidenced by the time that he signed, waiting until after, you know, mini camps to sign. I mean, that's just kind of a bush league move. Why would you even want that guy if you're Pittsburgh? I completely don't get it, but I think they're below 500. And then at the top of that division, you know, look, I don't know. Like, I'm a little squeamish about the Ravens because I just feel like they've had great luck with Lamar Jackson. You know, this is a guy that plays the game away that I think is very conducive to injury, and he really hasn't had one in a couple of years. Something's telling me this is the Bengals' year in the AFC North, Justin. I don't know. I mean, the Ravens might be the best team if healthy, but I think I'm going to go Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, Browns.
Yeah, I really don't hate that at all. I think, you know, like you said, I think the Ravens have kind of just had things go the right way for them in the regular season the last few years. And it seems like, you know, look, I know the Bengals, you know, that defense isn't maybe as strong as people would like it to be. I still don't know if they've signed Shamar Stewart, their first round defensive end, who they're going to desperately need. I know Trey Hendricks is I think he's still potentially holding out. So like there's a lot of question marks in that Bengals defense. But now that they have Higgins and Chase under contract and Burrow, hopefully this would be the first time going into the beginning of the season that he hasn't suffered a setback in like 3-4 years. It seems like the Bengals, if all falls into place on the other side of the ball, this could be a year that they come out and really make a statement.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to get caught asleep this year. I feel like they started off slow last year and it really ruined their season. Totally. I feel like, you know, they're going to be on the ball going into the start of this year. Okay, that brings us to the AFC South, Justin. This is a absolute trash division.
Yeah, it is.
Just like, I mean, it's really hard to pick a winner for this division or a last place team because they're all so bad. But Titans, Jags, Colts, and Texans, who comes in last place in the AFC South?
Well, my brain tells me it's the Titans, but my heart tells me it's the Jaguars. I can't. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't care if they got. I don't care that they brought in Liam Cohen, who's gonna supposedly revive Trevor Lawrence. I don't care if they drafted Travis Hunter and Brian Robinson looks like a home run. Like, I just cannot get behind Trevor Lawrence in this Jaguars team. I think they're gonna flop. And I'm gonna pick them to come in last. Just purely out of spite, just because of how much disdain I have for Trevor Lawrence. And not only the disdain I have for Trevor Lawrence, but the disdain I have for the people in the football world, the media, etc., that still props this guy up as if he's not a total failure.
Yeah, and it's like, look, we've been wrong about the number one pick in all sports so many times over the years. And you now have a 4-year sample size of Trevor Lawrence. You know what he is. He's a below average quarterback. I don't think he's as bad as you do, but he is a below average quarterback. I'd put him somewhere in the 20, 22, 21 kind of range, early 20s. Why people have a hard time wrapping their head around that we were wrong about Trevor Lawrence is mind-boggling to me, because we've been wrong about so much. I can't pick them to be last in this division because there are two really bad teams in this division. The Titans are one of the worst teams in the league. I'm a Cam Ward skeptic. I don't think he was number one pick worthy. I think in most draft years, he would have been a second round pick or late first round pick. Any port in a storm, the Titans took a chance on him. I still don't believe in them. The Titans may be the only team in the league that has worse offensive talent than the Patriots, or comparably bad offensive talent than the Patriots. So I think I'm picking them to be last. And I would also say watch out for the Colts, because I feel like the Anthony Richardson experiment is clearly falling apart. You know, they brought in Daniel Jones to be the backup. Maybe he gets a little Sam Darnold type situation going on and they surprise some people this year. I think that might be the best hope for that Colts team. But in a division this bad, I can't pick the Jaguars to be last, even though I don't like them. I feel like you know, you almost have to pick the Texans to win the division, but it's like by default, because really they're in a division with like the three stooges.
So I'm going to shock you here. And again, I got another future on this. I have the Colts winning this division. And
don't hate it.
It's for the reason that you just said. I think Daniel Jones, while I'm not a huge fan of him, I think he's slightly better than what we saw in New York. And I think this for him, I think you hit the nail on the head, could be like a Sam Darnold comeback, prove it type of year. He's 2 years now removed from that ACL injury. The Colts have a decent offensive line. They got one of the best running backs in football. They got a good wide receiver core. You know, you look at Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Adonai Mitchell, like that's a good group of receivers. And they just drafted Tyler Warren, who's supposed to be a very good tight end in the first round. And it's not a bad defense. Plus, this is a make or break year, I think, for Shane Steichen. It would not shock me if the Colts went out and won this division with 9 wins.
What did you get for odds on that bet? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, no, but I think it was in like the plus 300s, plus three something.
See, I don't hate the pick, obviously, because look, I think there's a pathway for the Colts to win and be a surprise team this year, which is they're playing in an awful division. Right. And if somehow Daniel Jones is what you hope that he is, which is kind of a distressed asset, a la Sam Darnold, I mean, there is some talent on that team. But, you know, I think part of it, too, is like how long are they going to roll with Anthony Richardson? Because, you know, like when teams make an investment like that in a player and they put themselves out there like that for a player, sometimes they'll stick with that player longer than they should. And I think that's already happened with him some. So, you know, are they going to be 2-6 by the time they pull the trigger to Daniel Jones? Or are they going to have the guts to do it in training camp if it's obvious that Jones is the better player?
So I totally agree with that. My bet is predicated on the fact that I truly believe Daniel Jones will be the day one starter, I think, in Indianapolis. Yeah. We've heard some rumblings that he's already got, you know, the slight edge in the quarterback battle. They're frustrated with Anthony Richardson. We've heard in the offseason he's kind of come in and got that early lead to be the day one starter. Now, who knows? Like you said, they invested such high draft capital in Anthony Richardson. Maybe they feel obligated to give him another go around this year before they bring Daniel Jones in. If they do, I think the Colts are in trouble. If they start Daniel Jones on week one, I think the Colts got a good chance to win that division.
Well, look, when you're taking like a big underdog in a futures bet, right, you're just looking for a bet where there's a pathway where you can like construct a scenario that's not totally far-fetched to say, you know, this could happen. And for that reason, I kind of like that bet for the Colts in the AFC South, because I agree with you. Like there is a not so unrealistic pathway where the Colts can somehow by default almost win that division if Jones steps up and plays good. I don't love the Texans. I'm skeptical of that team too, you know? I mean, this could be a division where an eight-win team can somehow win it.
Totally, totally. And I don't think the Colts are capable of getting more than, say, like 9 wins, but I think 9 wins could win this division, like you just said. So
100% 9 wins could win this division. Yeah. All right, let's move, Justin, to the AFC West. And see, this to me is a division that I think is a little more wide open than maybe everyone else does.
Totally.
I'm going to start at the bottom. And, you know, look, I'm just not a believer in what the Raiders did this year. I mean, I don't know about Pete Carroll at this point, rebuilding a program. I definitely don't know about Geno Smith. I mean, I like Ashton Jeanty. I don't know if there's much else on the team. I still think the Raiders are our last place team in the AFC West.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, look, I still think the Raiders could be a dangerous team in the sense that I think they could win maybe a couple games that we're not expecting them to.
Including against us, by the way.
Right. I mean, I really don't count them out of a lot of games, but I totally agree. I think they're going to be like a a 5-6 win team, and I think they're probably destined to come in last. I just don't think they have enough, especially with what the other teams in that division have going for them.
I mean, Geno Smith will win them a couple of games.
Right.
He'll get them to 5-7 wins.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think they'll be a bottom of the NFL franchise, but I think they'll be a bottom of the AFC West.
Yeah, agreed. And then the other three teams, look, I think they're pretty even, but I'm just going to go on a limb here. I like the Broncos this division. I think the Chiefs step back. I don't think the Chiefs are in position to win another Super Bowl again until they rebuild. Like I feel like Kelce is on the decline. I almost said Gronk. Kelce is on the decline. I think Mahomes is already on the decline a little bit too, and I'm kind of out on a limb on that take, but I think the last 2 years you could kind of see it. I think it's only going to continue. They've swung and missed on a ton of draft picks on offense. I do like that they took a tackle this year. I think that's huge for them, but I see them as like a 10 or 11 win team. I see them as a wild card team this year. I like Denver to eke that division out.
I 100% agree, and as a matter of fact, not only do I have a future again on Denver to win that division, but I got a nice little parlay: Denver to win the AFC West, Patriots to win the AFC East, and Colts to win the AFC South. So look out for that. But I totally agree. I think Denver has the best defense in football. I think they have a great proven head coach. And I think that offense is kind of exactly where they need to be. What we saw from Bo Nix in his rookie year, I think was very promising. I think he's kind of poised to take a year two leap. Yep. Like, they've surrounded him with talent in the backfield, at receiver, on that offensive line. And I think when you couple that with what I truly do expect to be the best defense in football, and you think about 100%. Last year too, obviously they beat the Chiefs in that throwaway game at the end of the season when the Chiefs were sitting their guys, but they almost beat the Chiefs outright. And remember, that was that like blocked field goal?
Missed field goal.
Yeah.
Like a 36-yard field goal.
Yes.
That was when the Chiefs were like, couldn't lose. You know, they were undefeated, but somehow they kept winning at the end.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that's spot on. I still think the Chiefs will be like a wild card team, but I love Denver to win that division. And Denver's another team that you get great value. They're still like plus three something to win that division.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, these lines are set based around perception, and the Chiefs have a tremendous amount of respect in the betting public still, as they should. It's well deserved. I'm not dismissing the Reed Mahomes combination at all. Like, I still respect that combination. I still think you could put those two guys together with any other 50 guys, and you're probably going to win like 10 or 11 games. And I think that's what the Chiefs will do. But I just think Denver is the better team. I am not sleeping on Bo Nix at all. You know, I don't think he got enough respect for what he did last year as a rookie. And, you know, to me, Justin, you know, I'll just say this. If we were redrafting quarterbacks right now, 100% I'd take Bo Nix over Caleb Williams. 100%. Totally. You know, so, you know, I think he had a terrific rookie year. So I think that Denver team is poised to make a run. And like you said, the defense is really what drives them. So I'm going Denver. And, you know, I also like the LA Chargers. I think they'll be a wild card type team this year too. I think that's another good team. I like what they did this offseason too.
Yeah. Look, I'll say this about the Chargers is I think they're a pretty good football team. I like Harbaugh. But for me, I've graduated Justin Herbert, especially, and this solidified it for me in the playoffs last year. I've solidified him as the next one up in the talented loser crew. And 100%. I don't trust him in big games. If you were asking me Chargers versus Chiefs or Chargers versus Broncos, I'll take the Chiefs and the Broncos. Like, that's just how I look at it right now.
But I like the coach.
Yes.
I like the way they've built a team around the quarterback. Yeah. I like the first round running back they took. I think he's a fantasy stud in the making, by the way.
Yep.
And I agree with you. Like, I don't believe in Justin Herbert, but I just think what else they have on that team, I think they can win 9 or 10 games.
For sure. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting division to watch. Arguably, I think going to be one of the better, if not the best division in football this year.
It really should be, no question about it. Okay, let's move to the NFC. NFC East, last place team. I'm sorry. I like the New York Giants. I actually think the Giants are going to be poised to make a big jump next year. I think they're doing a good job of rebuilding that team. They drafted arguably the best player in the draft this year, and Malik Carter. Abdul Carter.
Yep.
They had Malik Nabers last year. Yep. They've got a young quarterback. They have some building blocks, but their schedule is killer. They're going to be developing getting a quarterback this year. I think they are the last place team in 25, but with another top 10 pick and all that they've done, I think watch out for that Giants team in 26.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, this is, you know, it, with any franchise, you know, a lot hinges on their quarterback play. So, you know, I don't think it's crazy to say that, look, Jackson Dart is going to be the wild card for this team, right? Because like we mentioned, they have good weapons. They have good good receivers. I think Daboll, you know, I don't think he's a great coach, but I don't think he's a bad coach. So the Giants could maybe surprise some people if Jackson Dart steps in week one and shows out a little bit more maybe than people were anticipating. I can see a world where the Cowboys come in last in that division, but I'll agree with you here. I think the Giants are probably destined for last, but I think similar to the AFC West, I think the Giants could come in last and still be like a 6-7 win team.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think, you know, look, you said the Cowboys, like I would love to give you like a fiery hot take and say that Dallas is going to like somehow win this division. I mean, you know, throw a huge curveball. But to be honest with you, sometimes you just got to go with the boring, predictable thing. And like, I really think like Dallas is going to be mediocre because mm-hmm. they have way too many holes on that roster. And this really is going to be, I think, a two-horse race between the Eagles and the Commanders. I think they're both going to be good teams, and I think they're both going to be in that 12-win range. The Commanders, I thought, had a great offseason, and I think it will come down to whichever one of those two emerges.
Yeah, totally. I think those are both going to be playoff teams, right? You know, like you said, one will win the division. I think the other will wind up a wild card team. You got to go with the Eagles, I think, just because not only did they come off of a dominant Super Bowl victory and just close out the season last year, just, you know, hotter than fire, but this is a team that they didn't lose anything. If anything, they gained. They stole what's his name in the draft, Jahad Campbell, in the back yep. of the first round. Like, that defense is still nasty. I mean, they're probably competing for the top defensive spot in the league, right behind the Broncos. And they didn't lose anything. You got Saquon, you got Hurts, you got Brown, you got Devontae Smith, and you still got one of the best O-lines in football. It's tough not to pick them to come on.
Well, look, we know how running backs can fall off the cliff really fast. But what I would say about that Philadelphia team is like they're so good and so deep, and they have so much going for them that even like Saquon is almost like the icing on the cake for that team. Yeah. Like, they're still a 12-win team, even if he does hit the proverbial wall this year.
Totally.
And isn't the same player he was last year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So they're dangerous. And again, but I think to your point, like, it all really depends on how Washington does in the year two of the Jaden Daniels regime. And I think, like you said, they got better. They added some good pieces on defense. They added some good pieces on offense. They brought in veterans, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel. So for all intents and purposes, as long as Jaden Daniels takes another step forward in year two, like, this should be a good, dangerous team.
Yeah, and I think a two-horse race in that division for sure.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the NFC North. Bears, Packers, Vikings, Lions. I know we're going to be totally in agreement on this one, or maybe not, but like, I'm sorry. Love the Bears offseason. Love what they did. I don't believe in the coach. And you know what? I don't believe in the quarterback. And you know what? I kind of don't believe in the coach either.
Interesting.
From just like hearing him. And the more I hear that guy, Ben Johnson, the more I'm like, I am really glad the Patriots passed on him. So look, I just think Caleb Williams is a non-starter. Like, I think it's a Trevor Lawrence type situation where no matter who you put around him, what you do for him, the ceiling is mediocrity.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan. I will say that this division, and even though I do agree with you, I think the Bears are going to be the last place team in this division. This is the division in football that I think you could make the best case for any four of those teams to come out on top. Like,
agreed.
Because I mean, the Bears, they have a good defense. They're stacked with weapons. And if Ben Johnson, who was supposed to be a good, you know, a good coaching prospect and a brilliant offensive mind, if he can get the best out of Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams can take a jump, it's not crazy to see a world where the Bears are good. But I think this is a really, really good division. I think it is a crapshoot. But right now, until I see Caleb Williams take a step forward, you have to say that this Bears team is probably the favorite to come in last.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, the other three teams I think are really interesting because, I mean, the Lions were the best team last year, right? But
right.
I feel like did their window close a little?
I think the window closed a little bit. Yeah,
it did, right? Like they just had two golden, like A-plus opportunities to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They should have beat San Francisco two years ago. That was an opportunity you can't blow. You just can't pass up that golden ticket. And they did. They lost that game. You know, and you don't recover sometimes from a loss like that. And I feel like their window might be closing a little. The Vikings, look, J.J. McCarthy, he's a huge question mark. We don't know what he is. I still think there's a lot of talent on that team. I mean, I think you or I could probably throw 20 touchdown passes with those receivers. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, we don't know what McCarthy is. And then the Packers, you know, I think are a good team, but maybe not a great one. So it's hard for me to pick, you know, who emerges from the three. I almost want to say Green Bay just to like switch it up a little.
So that was what I was going to say. I think it doesn't shock me if any of those teams come out on top of that division. I'm going to lean Green Bay just because I feel like, look, like you said, with the Bears, you know, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, two big question marks. The Vikings, it really all comes down to J.J. McCarthy. And for all intents and purposes, he is a rookie this year. Didn't play a snap last season. So you have no clue what you're going to get out of him. And then the Lions, it does seem like they're destined for regression. Like you talk about what they did 2 years ago when they blew that 3-score lead in San Francisco. Then they come back strong the next year. Finishes the overall number one seed and have a super disappointing loss to the Bucks in the playoffs. It's like between both of those, then like you said, Ragnow retires, are the best center in the league. They lose their offensive coordinator. David Montgomery's another year older, blah, blah, blah. I just feel like the Lions could still be a playoff team, but 100%. I think they're due for a little bit of regression. I don't see them as being the number one seed again.
And you're talking about a 15-win team, right? So, like, is it really a hot take to say they regress to 11 or something wins?
No.
You know what I mean?
Right. But I think if you're just looking purely at the trend, I think Green Bay is slightly trending upwards, and I think the Lions are slightly trending downwards. And for that alone, I'll say that I think it'll be, you know, a wire-to-wire battle till the last game of the season. But I think the Packers come out on top.
Yeah, I don't think the Lions will be four games better than the Packers this year. I really don't. I think it'll be a neck and neck race. Okay, let's go to the AFC South. Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Buccaneers. Look, I like the Buccaneers a lot in this division. I like them a lot more than other teams. So I'm there, I think, safe. I could see any one of those other teams coming in last. But, you know, really, to me, the Saints are maybe the worst team in the NFL right now.
I agree.
So I think this is like a clear cut, probably the Saints. You know, I mean, when I, you know, the Falcons and the Panthers, I don't know which way those teams go. I mean, who knows? But I think the Saints, I mean, who's even going to play quarterback for them?
Totally. Yeah. I think you're right. I think the Saints are probably going to be the worst team in football when it's all said and done. I think they come in last in that division. I know that the Bucs are probably the favorite. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to pick the Falcons to win the division. Not because I think the Falcons are clear cut the best team in that league. I just like what they did. They had a really, really good secondary and they added two first round defensive ends to that D-line this past year. Plus, you know, Michael Penix takes another year forward. And I think another big thing that's a little overrated is I hate Arthur Smith. I think he's an offense killer. And they shipped him out of town, right? And I think that was something that was holding this team back. Because it's like, look, you look at this offense. They cut Bijan. They got Kyle Pitts. They got Drake London. They got Darnell Mooney. Like, this is a team that if they open that offense up a little bit and Penix takes a step forward, like, they could be pretty good, especially with what they did on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, I agree with that, but just like, let's not underestimate how big of a question mark Michael Penix still is.
Totally.
I mean, and like for all the things we talk about New England, like all the advanced NFL metrics that Drake May excelled at, that make us all excited for Drake May, even though things were really choppy in terms of wins and losses last year, Penix really struggled on a lot of those measures and they won a few games, but he didn't always look good. And if you look at his last couple starts in particular, he struggled a little bit at times. So I do think, you know, when you look at the talent they have there, there's no real excuses for Michael Penix. I think it all kind of comes back to him and whether he can step up and do it. I'm just not a believer yet in Penix. So if I was going to pick a team in this division that I think could challenge the Buccaneers, for me, it's the Carolina Panthers. They finished the year strong.
Yeah.
Bryce Young saved his career last year.
Yeah.
They drafted a wide receiver, Tet McMillan, that was a little bit of a draft free fall, but they took him with a top 10 pick. They drafted a receiver, I believe, late in the first or early second round the year before. Young finished the year extremely strong. I think the Panthers are going to be a respectable team this year.
And, I've heard people say that the Panthers are coming on strong, and it actually wouldn't shock me at all. Again, I think it all comes down to Bryce Young. Like, was the end of last year just kind of like a fluke? But if Bryce Young can pick up the beginning of this year where he left off, the Panthers could be right. A dangerous team, especially this is, arguably outside of the AFC South. The NFC South, I think, is the second weakest division in football. So
100%. Open division.
Right. It's wide open. So, yeah, it really does come down to the quarterback play. But, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Panthers take a step forward this year.
Speaking of wide open divisions, we're going to finish with the NFC West. And you talk about a wide open division. I think this is also a division that's completely wide open.
Yeah.
I look at these four teams. I don't know who I would even feel comfortable picking as the winner. I've always kind of bullish on the Rams, I guess. I mean, I think they're clearly the best team. As for the worst team in this division, I mean, I don't know. Would it be crazy to say San Francisco comes in last in this division? With a lot on Brock Purdy, no Deebo Samuel. I'm not a believer in Ayuk. I don't know. What do you think? Who's last place team in the NFC West?
I mean, look, the 49ers are very close to falling apart, right? Like, Kittle's another year older. McCaffrey's always one play away from being out for the season.
Right.
Like you said, Ayuk's coming off a torn ACL. Deebo Samuel gone. Trent Williams shipped out of town. That defense, they lost some good pieces in that defense.
Right.
Actually, both got shipped out to Denver. Greenlaw and Hufanga, the safety. So it's like, it's very easy to see a world where the 49ers fall apart. I'm going to take the Seahawks to come in last here in the division.
I don't hate that.
And I think, again, like you said, it really, really is a crapshoot. I think, the Seahawks actually have a pretty decent defense, but you know what? Is Sam Darnold going to be able to come in and replicate what he did in Minnesota, especially now that, they got rid of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So it's like, who knows what could happen in Seattle.
What's the name of the quarterback from Alabama Seattle drafted?
Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that, he's kind of like, I don't know, a dark horse as the year goes on. If Darnold doesn't, do well, I mean, I think one of the biggest questions in the NFL going into this year is, can Sam Darnold do replicate what he did in Minnesota in Seattle? And let's not forget, there are some pretty good offensive weapons on that Seattle team. They have good receivers and some other stuff. So, if Darnold crashes and burns, I mean, I agree with you. Last place is totally fair game for that team. But my sense is I think Donald will at least do okay, and I think they'll find themselves kind of a mediocre team. As for the winner in that division, look, I got to take the Rams. I actually like the Davante Adams signing. It's just a way to get like one more year and get productivity out of him. I mean, he's obviously at the end of his career, but put him with Stafford not Cooper Kupp, the other guy.
Puka Nacua,
yeah. Right? Yeah. Put him with him, those two guys. And I think that, he will fit in well. So I like the Rams at the top of the division. And as for the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, again, I think this is a team that, could be in transition by the end of this year. Probably going to be a 7 or 8 types win season for them.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you with the Rams. I think I got to give them the slight edge just simply because you got Puka, you got Kyren, you got Davante Adams alongside Matthew Stafford. And then I think you got arguably one of the better coaches in the NFL. And I think the best coach in that division in Sean McVay. And I think they got a lot of rising talent on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they hit a home run with that Jared Verse kid, the Florida State defensive end. He turned into a beast last year. They got a couple good young guys on that side of the ball. So I'm going to take the Rams to win. I, however, would not be shocked if the Cardinals were better than maybe people are thinking. I think the Cardinals are flying under the radar. Kyler Murray, again, another year removed from that ACL injury. Marvin Harrison Jr. could take a big step forward, and they've added some pieces to that defensive side of the ball. I'm not a huge believer in Gannon, that head coach, but again, it wouldn't shock me to see the Cardinals be the second best team in that division and potentially give the Rams a run for their money.
I don't hate it, Justin. I don't hate that take. I think, you know, Arizona, I mean, again, it's a wide open division. So, I mean, you convince me any one of those four teams ends up winning it when it's all said and done. I think there's a pathway there for every one of them. All right. Any other thoughts, Justin? Anything we missed? Any other takes you want to say about the league before we wrap up this episode?
No, nothing too crazy. I mean, I think we hit on a lot of it, but, you know, I do think this could kind of be the year, you know, to bring it back to the AFC in Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's kind of been, you know, the Chiefs went on their Patriots style kind of run there. And I think just like we saw with the Patriots when they had that first lull after, you know, after 2007, like, we could be entering an era where the Chiefs are kind of taking a little bit of a step back. And if the Chiefs take a step back, like, the AFC, I think, is wide open with teams that are ready to fill that gap, you know, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincy, and a few others that, you know, could come out. Denver. I actually even love Denver to win the AFC this year. But anyway, I think it'll kind of be nice, I think, to look at football as being a much more wide open anybody's game this year than in years past.
I agree with that. And I think that doesn't it feel like a little bit like the balance of power might have swung back to the NFC? I mean, I think for the last few years, it's sort of been like the AFC, you know, has been a little more dominant. Certainly the quarterback play better in the AFC. Well, now I think with the emergence of the Eagles and the emergence of Jaden Daniels, I feel like now you're seeing the kind of pendulum switch back a little to the NFC this year.
Totally. Yeah. I think you got some good teams in the NFC. And I mean, I know the Eagles, like we said, is dominating as they were last year. And the fact that they arguably got better, not worse, this offseason, like, you know, it's tough not to pick them as the favorite. But I think that NFC is, for all intents and purposes, wide open as of right now. And I think the AFC is as well. So I think you're right. I think this will be a very interesting year in terms of just seeing a bunch of good teams have the potential to come out on top.
Any thought, Justin, way too early Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, all right, Super Bowl pick. I'm gonna pick Denver to come out of the AFC. I love this Denver team this year. I really do. And in the NFC, you know, it might be the boring take, but I'll pick the Eagles to go back just because, you know what, like, It's tough to pick against them at this point. Like we said, they were so dominating last year and they arguably just got better. So yeah, give me Philly and Denver.
I'm going to go. I like that pick. I like that Denver pick. That's off the beaten path a little. That's good. I'm going to go with Buffalo in the AFC. Cause I just, you know, I feel like one of these years they're going to just knock down the door, especially with Kansas City taking a step back. And I'm going to go with Detroit as a wild card in the NFC. I don't know. That. This is a sentimental pick, maybe not so much a head pick. Because if you're making a head pick, then how can you not pick Philadelphia?
Right.
You know, because they're just so far, I think, the best team in the NFC. But I'm going to go Buffalo and Detroit because that would be an amazing, entertaining Super Bowl and a great storyline. I picked it last year, and of course, it didn't happen. So we'll try again this year.
Yeah, but I think you're totally right to say that would arguably be the best storyline possible for the NFL if you had those two teams in the Super Bowl. So yeah, and I know I would love to watch it too. So we'll definitely see what happens.
Awesome. Okay, man. Well, listen, want to thank everyone that listened. Hope you enjoy this. Please enjoy your 4th. Be healthy. Be safe. Stay away from fireworks. You know, some guy in my house in Falmouth, some guy that lived the street over from me, like, blew off a few of his fingers 3 years ago on 4th of July. So it does happen. So,
it does.
You know, leave the fireworks to the professionals. Go out. Have a fun time. Don't drink and drive. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the holiday. And we'll catch you in a few weeks. So I think next episode, Justin, we can do a way too early fantasy football preview.
Love
that. Which we haven't done before, but that'll be fun.
Awesome.
All right. Have a great holiday, everyone. Happy 4th.